The following message is brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 200 East Wells Street at Jernigan Place, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.
Greetings, fellow Federationists. This is Wednesday, January 5th, 2011, and presidential release number 391. We have a brand new year here to work with, and many things are happening in this brand new year. So let me give you a few of the things that we have going as the first part of this brand new year gets underway. And by the way, Happy New Year. We are going to be dealing with the Blind Driver Challenge, as you might guess. Anil Lewis has an announcement which says, many of us have mastered non-visual techniques that make it possible for us, as well as for our sighted colleagues and friends, to perform most tasks. As mainstream technologies are developed, tools we have used successfully over the years become unavailable, and the new technologies are inaccessible. This threatens our ability to stay competitive and to remain independent. The Blind Driver Challenge of the National Federation of the Blind is our initiative to develop non-visual interface technology that conveys real-time information about the driving environment so that it will be possible for a blind person to drive safely and independently. As we work to ensure that a blind person can get at information necessary to press the accelerator with confidence and skill, we are also accelerating the development of other non-visual access technologies that will ensure that blind people will remain independent and will be competitive. The official start time for our NFB Blind Driver Challenge demonstration of the prototype non-visual interface that will make it possible for a blind person to drive a car has been set for 11:30 a.m. on January 29th, 2011, preceding the Rolex 24 at the Daytona International Speedway. This demonstration of a blind person independently driving an automobile will be a tremendous exhibition of the capacity of blind people using innovative non-visual access technology to perform a task most people thought impossible for a blind person. The foundation of many of the misperceptions about blind people and blindness will be shaken. Much will be learned and much taught on that day. If you plan to be a part of this exciting event, let us know that you will be in attendance and purchase your race ticket. There is a lot of planning taking place to ensure that our members have an opportunity to participate in this effort in order to ensure that we make the appropriate accommodations. We need to know how many of our members will be there. So if you plan to be in Daytona for the first demonstration of this machine and the person who is blind driving it, call Christian Kunke to let her know at 410-659-9314 extension 2219, or you can send an email to bdc@nfb.org. Now, BDC, you may notice, means Blind Driver Challenge, and NFB means, all together now, National Federation of the Blind. Everybody must purchase a ticket in order to gain access to the track to witness the Blind Driver Challenge demonstration. The $30 race rewards package will get you access to the grandstands, the Sprint Fan Zone, along with other benefits. Additional options are available for more avid race fans. Tickets can be purchased by calling 1-800-PIT-TICKET. shop, P-I-T-S-H-O-P, which is 1-800-748-7467, by January 23, 2011. Lodging at the Plaza Ocean Club Hotel, the main hotel for the BDC, has sold out. You can obtain more information about the NFB Blind Driver Challenge, as well as additional information about tickets and lodging options, by visiting www.blindriverchallenge.org. And hope to see you in Daytona, says Anil Lewis. And who is it that will be driving the car in the Blind Driver Challenge? As it happens, that decision has not yet been made. There have been a number of tests to see who might be involved, but so far we don't know for sure. I intend to be there, and I urge you to come to be a part of it. We have some other announcements here. On Newsline, there are job listings. The National Federation of the Blind, the nation's oldest and largest organization of the blind, is pleased to announce that a revolutionary new feature has been added to NFB Newsline, the free audible information service for the blind and others who cannot read print because of a physical disability. With this groundbreaking job listings feature, blind and print disabled people will be able to search for job openings that match their education, skills, and interests. If you would like to know more about NFB Newsline and this exciting new feature, visit www.nfbnewsline.org, or you can call here and talk to Scott White. Scott White directs Newsline. We have a toll-free number, 866-504-7300, if you want to find out about the new job listings feature on NFB Newsline. I should also tell you that we have been working diligently on the Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act. We've been doing it now for a couple of years. We have noticed that cars that used to make noise so that you could listen to them and avoid being run over by them don't make as much noise anymore. Some of them that are using internal combustion engines are very quiet, but the electric vehicles and the hybrid vehicles are especially quiet. Sometimes they make no noise at all or almost none, and especially with environmental noise in the area, it is simply impossible to hear them. And some of our folks have been hit by them in the process of trying to travel independently. We suggested to the car companies that they put some sound-making qualities into their vehicles, and they said that they didn't think they would. And we said it to the Department of Transportation, and they weren't sure that it was an important idea. Well, we've now said it to the Congress. The Pedestrian Safety Enhancement Act has now passed. It has been placed upon the president's desk, and on the 4th of January, that is to say yesterday, the bill was signed. It is now the law of the land. There is a period of time to do some study before this bill results in regulations requiring that sound come from automobiles so that you can stop and listen. If you want to know if there are automobiles in the immediate vicinity, you'll be able to hear them because they will make enough sound so that they can be heard. That is now the law of the land, although, as I say, there will be a few months before the regulations are written. There's a study involved and other such matter, and we've got to get to the part where we put the study together with the system that makes it work. We got this bill on the president's desk on the 28th of December, and it has now become law. This is a demonstration of the ability of the National Federation of the Blind. The auto manufacturers didn't think we could do it. And we went then to Geneva and told the United Nations about it, and they said that we couldn't do it. And now it's done, and so we are going to get a regulatory scheme to make it safer for pedestrians to travel in the United States, and we're not stopping with our own country. We're expanding it throughout the world. This is a splendid introduction to the thing known as the Washington Seminar. Every year we get together for our Washington Seminar to spread over the city of Washington, to meet with public officials, members of Congress, and others, to talk about the important policy matters that must be initiated in order to ensure that blind people have an opportunity for equal access to all aspects of American society. We will be in Washington again. We are having the Blind Driver Challenge, and we're having the demonstration of the vehicle. That's on the 29th of January. That's a Saturday. 2 days later, on the 31st of January, we're having the Great Gathering In meeting in Washington, D.C. This will be at the Capitol Holiday Inn, and we're having it at 5 o'clock in the afternoon so that we can talk about what we will be doing to promote independence, opportunities for blind people in Washington, and legislative proposals that will make it practical for blind people to participate fully in our society. I urge everybody to come. If you're coming to Washington, it would be good for us to know that you are. Let John Perret, who directs our Strategic Initiatives Department, where we have the governmental affairs area, let him know. But also, if you're going to be there, you're going to need a place to sleep, and Diane McGeorge manages room reservations. She can be reached at 303-778-1130, extension 219. That will let you get at Diane McGeorge's voicemail so that you can get yourself a reservation. She probably thinks that you already ought to have a reservation if you're coming. But if you find at the last minute that you're going to be able to come and you want to find out if there is still room in the inn, give Diane McGeorge a call. She will be there to help manage the Washington Seminar. On the subject of Newsline, there is one other thing to talk about, and that is that the National Federation of the Blind and the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped of the Library of Congress have worked together to launch a method of getting NFB Newsline so that you can hear it. This is the digital talking book downloader, which means that you can get information from the newspapers that is on Newsline, and you can download it to a book cartridge which will fit into your digital talking book player provided by the Library of Congress so that you can listen to the newspaper on your digital talking book player that has been distributed to you from the libraries in the Library of Congress system. If you want more information about this, then you can go to the customary Newsline address, which is www.nfbnewsline.org, and you can look into the DTB, or Digital Talking Book, downloader for Newsline, or you can call the 800 number I was talking about, 866-504-7300, in order to ask questions about how to use this exciting new service. Last summer at the National Convention, I talked about how it is that we want to have those who are applying to be lawyers in the United States to have the opportunity to take the bar exam in a way that will make it practical for those people to be tested on their knowledge of the law rather than be tested on their capacity to face unusual circumstances in taking tests. The bar examiners have been saying that They knew best how people ought to take tests, and we shouldn't try to have such things as JAWS and Zoom Text and other access systems for the computer as part of the test, because they knew better about tests than blind people do. We have had a lawsuit about that. Stephanie Enyart, a blind person in California who has graduated from law school and is seeking to become a lawyer, has wanted to take tests in ways that were similar to the ones that she used throughout her law school career. We first took the case in California court, that is to say in the district court, the federal court in California. It was then appealed by the law people, that is the bar examiners, to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. We have argued the case. I was out there in December for the argument, and Scott LaBar and Dan Goldstein have worked on this along with some others. And Dan Goldstein did the argument. We now have the decision from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and the court says that those who are going to be taking tests have a right to take them in a way that is most likely to make it practical for them to demonstrate their ability to deal with the subject matter rather than the ability to deal with unfamiliar testing situations. In other words, we have a right to the kinds of accommodations that are most beneficial to us, and the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has said so. This is in the circumstances that those who are wanting to take the bar exam will face, but this decision should also have much broader implications for testing for people in many different areas throughout the United States, and I think it is a true victory for the National Federation of the Blind. I appreciate Stephanie Enyart's help with it and her willingness to stick at it. And I also think that Dan Goldstein and Scott LaBar have done excellent work. I look forward to the time when testing ceases to be the contentious matter that it currently is. I want it to be the kind of thing that is as hard for blind people as it is for sighted people, which is to say, anytime you look at one of these tests, it is a sort of a gut-wrenching circumstance. But I don't want it to be more difficult for blind people, and I think we're a long way because of this case toward reaching that goal. I look forward to seeing you in Daytona. I'm coming. I look forward to seeing you at the Washington Seminar. I'm coming. We have many matters in the Federation. The convention will be coming up in July, and we'll be talking about that. It is possible for you to get your reservations made at Rosen Shingle Creek Hotel in Orlando, Florida. The reservation system is now open. We'll have more announcements about the National Convention coming up soon. But this brings me to the end of the first presidential release of 2011. Mary Ellen Thompson, who has worked for the Federation for 25 years or so and who has recently retired from her work here at the National Federation of the Blind, says, "No matter how much you push the envelope, it'll still be stationary." Then I have some about winter. It was so cold that when we milked the cows, we got ice cream. When we milked the brown ones, we got chocolate ice cream. Or, "It was so cold, I saw a lawyer with his hands in his own pockets."
The preceding message was brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 200 East Wells Street at Jernigan Place, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.